Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Good evening.
And Joe Branton.
Buongiorno.
It's the first week we're doing a proper podcast live on Amply.fi. So hopefully if you're listening to this, you also know that we're streaming these live every week.
Well, hopefully it is streaming.
Hopefully it is working. From 8:30 on Amp, for that's UK time, on Tuesday nights, Amply.fi/guitar nerds. Can someone who is in the group confirm that you can hear us and it's all good? That would be nice.
So, what is UK time at the moment?
British summertime, BST.
Is that plus one?
Yeah, it's plus one. Yeah.
Sweet.
So let's just to check that everyone can hear everything. Joe Branton, we can hear you.
Yes, we certainly can.
That's a shame. Matt Knight, we can hear you.
Excellent.
Matt,
I am the best.
By the looks of things, Matt's camera is running a couple seconds behind. Sorry for audio guys only who are only just listening to this on the audio.
We will streamline this more.
We will, yeah. We just need to. This is our first week of doing it properly, recording a full podcast with this all set up. So it might take us just a little while to get used to it. But I think the problems that we had last week in the test stream are now all sorted.
Looks like it. Looks okay. People are confirming that they can see and they can hear. It's much, much better, apparently. I do have to make an apology. I did say that I wear a dress for this week's episode, and I couldn't because I had to come straight from work to meet Mark. I didn't have time to go home and get one.
That is a big shame, not really.
Just quickly on a technical thing, Joe, have you got the Amplify stream working? Because I'm currently watching us live on FaceTime and watching the stream, and it's very weird.
Don't do that because you'll ruin the bandwidth. Anyway, there we go. You can now hear us talking.
Right. So
audio people, thanks for being with us if you're just listening to this podcast. We have got a few things to sort out. So for those who don't know, if you missed last week, amply.fi/guitar nerds, every Tuesday night, 8:30 UK time, you can watch us live. As we're going to be doing this from now on, basically. And as always,
this is the new era.
This is the new era.
Is it technically a new series?
It's not a new series. We're up to, what, episode 55, 56, or something like that?
Do you think we should have made it a new series?
No, it's not a new series.
It's going to make the quiz so much better.
Because we can see how much you guys just look stuff up on your phones whilst I'm asking questions.
No, it's because I've been playing the quiz since I won the last one, and I wanted to use some visuals in my quiz. I got some questions.
Visuals. We're going to have a picture round in the quiz.
Oh yeah, I'm going to go all out.
Good. We should say that if you're watching us for the first time on Amplify and you've never listened to the podcast before, we are the Guitar Nerds. Every week we're here to talk about news and things that we've reviewed and answer your questions, both from live in the Amplify feed, which we can do as we're doing it, but also in the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. That's if you've got a burning question that you can't wait to ask us live, you can always go and put it there. So do go and sign up there as well. So we usually start off doing the podcast by kind of doing a bit of a roundup of what we've been up to this week, what we've been playing, any guitar news that's kind of caught our eye, really. So, Matt Knight, you've got some interesting news about a new pedal that you've ordered. What have you ordered?
I bought, and I put it up in the Facebook group, and a few people have actually got one. I think it's a bit of an Electro-Harmonics sort of hidden gem. It's the Ring Thing, which is a ring modulator, very basic ring modulator in a sense, but it can do so much more because you can effectively tune the ring modulation down to a point where it becomes a tremolo, which is, that's basically what a ring modulator is. It's a very, very slow trem, and the more you speed it up, it gets to a point where it sounds, you know, really metallic, effectively, that classic sort of ring modulator sound. So got that, but it, yeah, it allows you to do some tremolo stuff, and it's also got like a full polyphonic pitch shifter in it as well, so it's basically got a pog built into it as well. And I had one space on my pedal board that was exactly the right size for that pedal. So.
Nice.
It's quite a large size though, because it's in the Microsynth chassis, isn't it? The larger rectangular.
Yeah, it's in the same chassis. The Microsynth, the Pog 2. And I've also got some new cabs coming for my heads. So I've sold my old cabs and I've got some new.
What, you sold your Zillas?
Cabs coming. I didn't have any. Well, I had one 112, but what I really wanted was a 212.
Okay.
Oh, and also someone said I'm a bit quieter, so you might want to turn me up.
We've tried. Yeah, you are a tiny bit quieter, but yeah, we'll try and we'll boost you up a tad. Cool. So yeah, new cabs. So yeah. What have you gone for?
I've gone for, because I'm completely, I suppose, vain in the way that my guitar rig looks, even though it never goes outside. I've gone for two 212s, but vertical 212s. Because I had one before and it sounded really good. And they take up less space, especially when you're in a flat. So two 212s matching. So they're basically, one matches one head, which is Seafoam Green and white, and one matches the other one, which is Western Black.
So what's the plan for what you're going to run into them? Are you going to stack them like? Are you going to use basically one head into the two cabs? Is that the plan, or is it two heads?
No. I'm actually running now. I've actually worked out a way to properly run two amps wet with effects on either side, and then one center amp completely dry.
So three amps.
So I run three amps at home, and it sounds glorious.
Unbelievable.
And the completely dry amp, I assume, is going to be the Roland Jazz Chorus.
Yeah, so I've got the Roland Jazz Chorus 50. But it's actually what with the ES8, what you can do, and I got this idea from another video I saw, is actually, because you can reorder the loops, I still send all the drives to the center amp as well as the two amps on the outside, but only the reverb and delays go to the two amps either side. Because I don't know if you've ever messed around with like a stereo rig where one's completely wet and one's completely dry, the dry amp can sound really odd. You like when you've got loads of distortion coming out of one side
and then
one side's complete.
Yeah, no drive at all. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a useful setup to me. I would think that you want your kind of your bass sound, so like compressor, overdrives, perhaps any like wah or anything like that, like volume based effects, you would want to put through all three amps.
Yeah.
If you or two if you're using one wet and one dry, but in your case, down the center, all the dry stuff. And then send, you know, time based effects, reverbs, delays, modulation and stuff out to the two on the side.
Yeah, and the good thing about it is that you can be a lot more sort of heavy-handed in the amount of mix that you put with the delays and the reverbs. So usually, obviously, if you're using two amps and you're obviously using drive, you don't want to use too much reverb or too much delay because everything gets a bit mushy.
Yeah.
But if you've got one amp that's feeding completely dry signal, including drives, it means that you can really go really heavy on the reverb and delay and your guitar sound still cuts through. Sort of been messing around with that, and also messing around with the drum machine, the TR-8, Roland TR-8, so sort of having a mess around with that and running it through some effects. I was running it through the Space Echo yesterday and I was like, oh, this sounds awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
But it's just like, it's one of those things that you're just like, I'm never going to be able to take I'd never ever take the Space Echo outside of its nice warm environment. It's just too risky.
What a waste.
It amazes me that back in the day that would have been people's like delay solution, because you know they would have had, you know, you would have take out like your guitar and your amp, and there wasn't really like compact pedals. I guess you would take out a Space Echo and sit it on top of your amp, go into that, and then out into your guitar amp.
Well, I remember reading an interview. I think it was an interview with the guy who teched for the shadows, like really early on, and obviously they used loads of, you know, Hank Marvin was famous for obviously using tape delay, and he's just like, they'd break like every night, something would go wrong, like the tape would break, one of the motors would go, and so they, like, I can see why that in the 80s everyone ended up with like massive sort of rack units and things like that, because it just gave you everything that was like controlled and, you know, loads of options without, well, with tons more reliability.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's not like now where you could just pick up loads of different like compact pedals and stuff. You know, you were relying on digital systems to provide all that for you. So yeah, rack-based stuff would have been your option, I guess.
If I had the money, I would definitely go down the route. I'd just buy like a 15U rack cabinet and just be like, right, what shall I put in it?
I could see you doing that. I could see your rig.
I think
rig.
That's the inevitable next stage completely. Of Matt Knight's rig.
Completely. I can see your rig becoming like, so either 3 amps, and then next to that, you just have a big, like, chest of drawers, essentially, of your effects. All the single pedals in racks, like rack drawers, and then some sort of, I don't know, some other rack-based processor, and you're controlling it all with the Boss ES8 or similar, some sort of MIDI controller.
Several ES8s. I'll just link ES8s into ES8s.
Can you link ES8s up together?
Yeah, because they're MIDI out, MIDI in. So, although the only thing you could control is presets.
Right.
So, but in theory, I suppose you could have an ES8 with just drive pedals in it, set loads of different presets of different drives, and then hook another ES8 into it, and then patch the two together. What if you patched an ES8 into the loop of an ES8? Like, into one of the effects loop. 8 ES8s into 8 loops on one of those loops. Going into 8 loops.
Loopception, I think is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, putting an ES8 into every loop.
Well, it's like the time
crazy.
We were talking about getting an Akai head rush and running it into 5 amps.
Yes, yeah.
Those head rushes into 5 more and then running, yeah, basically 25 amps.
What an underrated pedal, the Akai head rush.
It was a bit like, it was a bit before and simultaneously after its time, if that makes sense, because it was a
looping solution before RC series loopers were a thing.
Yeah,
but and so, it only offered you 9 seconds, 6 seconds, something like that, not a lot.
Yeah,
but I remember.
I think it was 14 seconds,
was
something
it,
like
was
that.
It that
yeah.
much? I remember going to see sort of like post rock bands when post rock was just sort of starting out as a thing,
yeah.
mainly because delays were only and loopers were only becoming available, you know, sort of that were very good.
Yeah,
around then, and seeing people use this thing, this Akai head rush, which was this amazing pedal that they could play and loop it and do that live.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. My first experience was actually, as Matt talked about there, when we got one in the shop. And it was the first day. This was a guitar shop that we all used to work in or still do work in. The first day that we had Mesa Boogie delivered, and we were like, okay, right, what we're going to do is plug in the Akai head rush and plug in six Matt, that you can plug in, 6 outs from the head rush?
No, it's four wet outs and 1 dry.
Yeah, so we basically we plugged in 5 boogies at once on the day that we received them, and that was quite a day, and that was my first experience with the Akai head rush. I'd never really used one before that, so
great pedal. Not really a very prolific pedal manufacturer.
Akai? No, yeah. They've done some good ones back in the day. I saw someone was selling an Akai, I think it was a bass synth, but it wasn't the Deep Impact, not the famous expensive
about
one.
The Exciter?
Yeah.
Bass Exciter, wasn't it? Was that
something like that. There was, some sort of bass synth thing that right. wasn't the main, wasn't the one that everyone wants that goes for like £1,000 right. now. So, anything
They're
else, Matt?
So expensive.
They are.
So expensive. 600 quid, I think, is like the general. Going, I don't know how I've never tried one, so I honestly can't be like, oh, that's definitely one worth going for.
Whilst we're on the subject, Matt, should we answer that top question? I know that's sort of out of format.
Yes, I was just going to say, actually, someone mentioned they've got a head rush and they really like it, and it's one of those pedals that I've definitely had one before and been like, oh yeah, I do sort of miss it.
Joe, do you want to take that question from the chat? There was something.
Yeah. Okay. So, the question, Matt, you'll probably be able to do on the live chat. I'm saying is running a stereo rig, but playing with the idea of adding another amp and playing through three is the best way to put an ABY box on one of the stereo outs from the pedal board and send it to two amps. Matt Knight.
I always thought that probably was the best way to do it, but as we were saying, obviously what you want to do is send wah, drive, compression, all those sort of things to a center amp, and then still have everything, or still then have everything after that, so modulations, delays and reverbs going to two stereo amps. So the way that I've done it, if you imagine a signal chain, so you go guitar in, and you go into a wah, a compressor, and a distortion pedal, and then I go into a Layla P-split, which is basically a passive splitter that's got a buffered out and an isolated out. You go out of the buffered out into your delays and reverbs, and obviously your last pedal will be stereo, and that goes into your two amps. And then from the isolated output from the P-split, you go into your dry amp. You've then got phase inversion and ground lift, so you don't get any problems. And then effectively, your signal chain runs into the wah, compression, distortion, out into your dry amp, but the signal also carries on into your stereo effects and then goes into your two other amps where you'll get delay and reverb. And that's definitely the best way to do it. So okay, that way, it splits the signal where you don't want any other, or where you want all the pedals you want to go to all three to one, and then anything after that will only go to the two either side, if that makes sense.
Yes. Could you also do a lot of this just with the Boss ES8?
No, because you can do four cable method, and one question I've had a lot recently is, what if I want to do four cable method in stereo and use effects with both effects loops?
Okay.
And usually four cable method is mono. So Radial actually make a pedal called the Twin Line, which allows you to run one effects loop, but through one chain of effects through two effects loops. So you could sort of do it that way, but the problem is the ES8's got no way of splitting the signal.
Right.
Which is why, sort of after doing a bit of research, the Layla kind of worked out as the best option, because it's passive, it doesn't require any power, and it's got ground lift and phase inversion.
Right.
So they're the two biggest things, because phase, you probably don't realise, if you've never got anything that you can swap the phase on, if the two speakers or three speakers aren't running in phase, everything can sound quite thin, and as soon as you invert the phase and everything's running in phase, it like sounds like massive.
Yeah. It's one of those things that a lot of those like ABY boxes and stuff don't often have that, and I think people can get some real bad effects.
Well, that's always the thing. People always say, AB box, like I'll buy Electro Harmonix one, which they're fine. They're, you know, 25, 30 quid. They're great. But, you know, would I be better off going for a more expensive one? I'm always like, going for a more expensive one is a far better option, because it gives you so many more, choices in terms of how you run your rig.
Before we move on, Joe, anything from the chat that we need to address?
No questions.
Okay,
no,
good. Fine. Just loads of abuse.
Yeah. No abuse. It's all nice.
Oh, that's
all lovely stuff. But no more questions.
Okay.
For now.
What have you been up to this week?
I went to go and see Radiohead.
Oh yeah.
That's right. I was one of those lucky people that got tickets for Radiohead.
Ha. Good.
I'm gutted.
I mean, I'm not jealous in the slightest.
Well, not all of us can have taste in this
good
world.
So, how were Radiohead firstly, and did you get a glimpse into any guitar gear that they were using?
Yes, I did. They were very good. They were really good. It was great to see them do kind of such a bit of everything from sort of all of their records, and they played a different set each night on all of the three nights, which
is
quite good.
They were doing Creep for the first time in like 20 years or something.
No, they've played it loads of times before. They played it at their Reading performance.
Okay.
Sort of, I think like a decade ago they opened with it or something.
Right.
But yes, they did play Creep on one
France
of them. Really? Yeah, they did play it on, I mean, it's not, you know, anywhere close to being their best song, but yes, they did play it. They also played Paranoid Android on on the last night.
Okay, yeah. So I like those two songs. I don't know Radiohead at all. Find them anything post OK Computer is pretentious and a bit boring.
Right.
But that's probably the stuff that you like.
Absolutely.
Because you are a bit pretentious and a bit boring.
Those two things summarise me completely.
Indeed.
That was really good. So it was great to see them play sort of a bit of everything. And really nice to see their gear set up, because whilst obviously they have a lot, and because they were playing different songs from different records, there was a lot of scene changes, as it were. Lots of like everything from sort of organs to glockenspiel was being brought on and off for them to sort of play and still stay roughly in the same place. One of the most interesting things that they did, I thought, was the entire show was done with two drummers.
Really?
They had the drums in each corner.
Right.
Most of the time doubling up.
Okay.
Which was actually great. Like, sounded
so
great.
Just basically you playing exactly the same thing,
more or less. I mean, sometimes there were other things going on, but it was a brilliant idea. It sounded excellent.
It's a bit like Melvins did a whole run of albums with two drummers, and they basically played the same thing for the entire album.
I'm really into the idea. I'm tempted to do it with my band. It was a brilliant idea. They even found a guy who looked exactly like their actual drummer,
so it was like a mirrored stage down the middle. Like,
they were wearing like the same thing as well.
I think he's the drummer. Is he the touring drummer for Portishead or Massive Attack or one of those sort of like British sort of, I suppose, it like more chilled out electronica sort of things. Yeah, I think he did some, because on the last album there's loads of like electronic drums,
and right,
I think on the last tour like Philip Selway played normal drums and then he played loads of electronic stuff.
Okay, I see.
Okay,
yeah, so it was interesting to see that. Guitars were actually, as always with Radiohead,
were there any Telecasters?
Well, this is the thing about Radiohead, they're actually very very minimal in their setup.
Yeah.
so yes, there was there was the Telecaster that Greenwood always plays.
Telecaster?
So I'm not entirely sure what it is, but it's it has a humbucker in the bridge position and then a hardtail.
Oh, really?
Bridge, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's, lipstick
it's
in there.
It's a guitar they actually made. What did they call it? It was basically, it was like, it was a Tele Plus, an American Tele Plus, which I think.
You broke up a little bit there, Matty. American Tele Plus.
Yeah, from the late 80s, early 90s. So one humbucker in the bridge. Humbucker in the bridge, single coil in the neck. And I think for a while, I don't know if it was originally one of those ones that had two lace sensors. You remember the early Jeff Beck had the humbucker?
Yeah, they looked terrible.
And it was a dual lace sensor humbucker, but I don't know what's in it now, but that's he's been his main guitar since about 1994, I think, something like that.
Sure. So he had that.
He was flicking between that and the Fender Starcaster.
The hollow body,
not the Coronado. Yeah, it's the Starcaster.
Offset hollow body.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So he was flicking between a Starcaster, which of course, unless it was a custom shop, they never made really an expensive model of. It was either Mexican or Chinese. I think it was probably Chinese.
Yeah, I think he actually plays an original.
Yeah,
being
an original one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, the late 60s on
it,
I think.
It looked fair enough. Yeah, he probably does.
Yeah. It looked
really new and shiny.
I just can't see him playing in fact it's Ed O'Brien plays like the more variation in like amps, pedals and like guitars. Like Johnny Greenwood's pretty much had the same setup.
Yeah.
About 1993.
Yeah.
Well, Ed was switching between two white rosewood neck Strats that looked exactly the same. I mean, there could have been more than two.
Right, okay.
But every now and again, he got a new white Strat brought out.
Just every song, and then throw that one away.
Yeah, probably.
I've used it now, it's gone. Put it in the bin and then get another one.
Because
for a while,
so.
His main guitar was actually a Johnny Marr signature.
Really?
That was his main guitar for, I think, for a lot of the last tour and stuff, yeah.
Which are now available in black. Did we talk about that? That the Johnny Marr signatures are coming out in black?
I think there was news between the now and the last podcast, wasn't it?
Anything else, Joe, or should we dive straight into some news?
Because you know their setup is very conventional sort of thing. Tom York was flicking between his really nice SG, which is all over like in rainbows and stuff like that, which
really I would never picture him as SG. I would have thought like Telly probably. Maybe actually, used to play tellies or something.
Maybe you used to, not at all. Days. Yeah, yeah, not at all now. Flicks between a 335 and SG. I think that was probably about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He played a Jazz Master. He played a Jazz
Master. Oh yeah, and
a
Jazz
well.
Master. Yeah, he had a really nice looking Jazz Master actually. Yeah.
Cool.
But that's it.
Cool. Should we dive into some news? Because there's been some stuff this week.
Yes. Well predicted here.
Warming up. For those who've not listened to the podcast, it's time for news.
Nude men.
Good. That was really loud. So
I know. I was just trying to bring it.
Take it easy. You know, take
all right,
it easy.
All right.
So, news. Couple of bits this week. It's all pedal related. There's not much new guitar stuff at the moment. So, first up, Cog Effects, straight out of the UK, released the Nightfall 66 and Mini 66 overdrives. Matt Knight, you've got some details.
Yeah. Relatively new company, 2013.
We
I
have
think
actually
was their
reviewed
first pedal.
Their stuff before, though, haven't we? On,
I think so.
You,
which
demoed
ones did we
it?
Talk about before?
So they
which
did
one?
The Knobless Fuzz.
The Prickle Fuzz.
Yeah.
Was that the same company?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which had absolutely no controls on it. Just had a fuzz and a prickle control on it, which was just a slightly different
just
voiced
on
fuzz.
Because that's, yeah, that's
just
no longer... I don't think that's any part of their range anymore.
I'm sure we read at the time that it was a limited run. I mean, I can't imagine like a completely controlless fuzz... being because it's either like
on or off.
Well, yeah, and but that sound either works for you or it doesn't at all.
Yeah, you can't shape it in any way. It's do you want this fuzz or do you not want this fuzz?
Yeah.
Or do you want the fuzz with the prickle on? And if you don't want any of that, don't buy this pedal.
Yeah,
it's not like you can.
But
there's
it was
no
a cool
tone
idea.
Shaping.
It looked amazing. They do like acid etching on their pedals, so a lot of the time their chassis are just the actual sort of aluminium or steel sort of finish. Then with the name or the artwork for the pedal etched on, which I always think looks really cool and very sort of super boutique-y.
Yeah, it looks really, really nice. So, Matt, they've got two new pedals out. What are they all about?
Well, the first one is the Nightfall 66. Bass specific. And it's basically two-channel overdrive slash clean slash... Sans Ampy sort of thing, I suppose. The idea is that you can have like a really clean channel one, and then you can have a really high gain channel two, or you can mix the two to be kind of similar, but you can then basically sort of blend between the two. There's like an A-B box, but it's designed so that you're not jumping between two like extreme sounds. Like they work really well together.
It's a great idea, and that's kind of how a lot of companies that take bass drive seriously tend to work it.
Sort add a decent blend in there, because the problem with bass drives, as always, if you've not experienced bass drives, is that you can, if they don't have a decent blend of your clean signal in there, you lose all of your tone. Basically,
yeah,
you'd turn into a kind of wasp in a biscuit tin.
Which is why the best ones, things like the Boss BB1X, things like the Sans Amp and the Sans Amp bass driver VTs, especially having that blend control, just makes them. Wicked.
Totally. So yeah. Matt, so what else is going on? So apart from the blend, what else is going on with the Nightfall 66?
So you've got basically like a voice shaping thing. So that's to kind of give you anything from sort of like old school, sort of like really mid heavy to something a little bit more sort of like bright and pushed, I suppose. I mean, Joe and maybe you might probably get something better out of this than I would, because obviously it's more aimed towards bass.
Well, I have to give them a shout and see if we can get one to try out, because I'd love to see what it's like.
We should. We also said at some point we were going to give away the Prickle Fuzz as part of competition, I believe.
Oh yeah, we still have that.
We need to do that. We need to give that away.
Should we do that for the listeners or the viewers or both?
Well, I haven't decided yet. Best bet is make sure that you follow us on, you know, go to the Facebook group, guitarnerds.com/forums/guitarnerdsforum, where we're doing announcements about this show and announcements about everything else.
We've
we
got
do,
quite
so.
A few giveaways that we're going to
we have
be
there's a lot of competitions
soon.
Coming up. When we do a new round of videos, pedal demo videos, we'll have some competitions, including an Empress tape delay
giveaway.
Indeed. So
I'm really not looking forward to the Empress tape delay one.
Why? Because it'll be going and you want to win it.
Because it's been at my house since
Yeah, and you're not allowed to win it. Yeah.
Because I had to drop all the pedals that we had. We have this big box of pedals that we needed to shoot videos for that we did around my house. And Mark asked me to drop the box of pedals back around to his afterwards. I was like,
yeah, just bring them all back because, you know, if we keep them all in one place, then we know where everything is. And just, you know, I'm not saying that, Joe, you're going to probably, you know, rob us of one of the pedals. But, you know, make sure you bring them all back because I want to know where they are at all times. And what happened?
I brought all of them back except the Empress.
Indeed. Matt Knight, tell us about the Mini 66 Overdrive then.
Yeah, so the Mini 66 is basically the streamlined version of the Nightfall 66.
Okay.
So it comes in basically a mini pedal format, as most people are trying to get everything to
In a mini pedal format.
Yeah.
What do you I didn't see this when I looked it up. What do you sacrifice for it being?
Well, basically, you've got clean, gain, and level, and then you've got a fat switch and a cut switch.
Clean, gain, and level, did you say?
Yeah, so the fat is the same as the sort of like tone control on the Nightfall, where it gives you more low end before the preamp, and then the cut is basically a preset amount of top end that you can cut off.
Right.
The clean gives you obviously some of that kind of warmth, and then the gain is there to give you kind of all the drive.
Cool.
And then it's just on or off, basically.
This sounds like
it's designed to be a kind of massive overdrive that you can still kind of get some nice sort of clean in there as well at the same time.
We need to demo this, Joe.
I'm really excited. Do we know how much they're retailing at?
The Nightfall is 160 and the Mini 66 is 130.
Oh, wow. Okay. Cool. Let's move on. Dr. No Effects announced the Mother Brain Analog Delay, probably the weirdest and best-looking delay pedal on the market right now.
This is absolutely mental. This is the sort of thing that we need to be able to bring pictures
we will,
to show
yeah.
people.
And yeah, I mean, obviously it won't work for the audio podcast, but at some point we'll be able to bring in pictures and stuff. I'm envisioning a time when we have a TV monitor behind here, maybe, and we can bring things up. Here.
Oh, can we imagine, can we get little pointers?
We could get a little pointer. So
that would be awesome.
If we were talking about the Mother Brain delay, all the controls, let's pretend we're pointing at it now, all the controls are shaped like little miniature brains.
Yes. Little pink brains.
It looks super cool.
And the pedal is green and pink.
Get things sorted.
Yeah, we'll be able to bring things up roughly about here, or maybe we'll do them on the screen or something like that.
This pedal looks mental. Unbelievable.
Apart from looking amazing, Matt, what's the deal with the Mother Brain?
It's 245 euros.
I mean, that's quite a lot of money.
It is. They're only making 350, and it does come with a keychain.
Well, there we go. Price
and
justified.
The keychain has a brain on it. So
there we go.
You know, you want that. Basically, Dr. No Effects from the Netherlands, kind of high-quality designer of cool analog pedals, made a basically a more classic, I suppose. I'm not entirely sure, but it kind of reminds me of maybe something that might sound similar to like the kind of the old Space Echo sort of thing. There was another pedal that company that did something very, very similar. It was designed to that had a very similar name, that was designed to replicate the preamp of an old Space Echo, and this kind of reminds me of it. But I think it's just classic analog delay with the kind of all the presets that you'd expect, basically level, repeats, and delay time.
There seems to be a lot of good delays out there at the moment. Obviously, we bang on about the Casper being very good from Cast Engineering and MXR Carbon Copy Bright and stuff. So
I am concerned about a pedal with so few controls warranting the price point that it is.
Well, it depends. I mean,
you're getting into Strymon territory.
I think this is a different thing. It's limited to 300, and it's obviously got a very unique look. So,
It's 180.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
£9. I mean,
that's not crazy.
Oh, really?
I think, to be honest, it's getting to, well, I mean, that's what €245 is in Great British pounds of right now.
Yeah. We're doing all right then.
I like that you gave it the full Great British pound treatment.
Great British pound.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, you know, I would say now, for obviously, you know, still working in store, I would say almost the average price of a pedal now has to be £150.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's some cheap ones out there, but the of what most people buy and what most people come in and try, and of what and yeah, what we're selling, I would say £150.
Makes,
I mean, most drive pedals now that, you know, people are looking at, you know, JHS and things like that are £180, and you know, I think it's definitely getting to that point where we're seeing, like, yeah, some pedals, a pedal price is almost not an issue, I think. Possibly.
No, you're probably right.
I think it is, but maybe not in the sort of, probably not for the audience of this podcast, not probably with us. I think, you know, a kid just starting out building his pedal board or wanting something he can plug into his amp, he probably wants to get just like a Boss DS1 at £40 or £50 or whatever they are. Or
definitely doesn't want a Strymon.
No, exactly. Yeah, you'd struggle. I mean, he wants that, but he's not going to.
He can't have a Strymon, though.
Yes, he can't. He's not going to spend £349 or whatever it is on a what? On a Strymon.
On a Strymon.
Why do you keep saying Strymon?
Oh, they're playing a drinking game on the
on
the live chat for cool. Down a drink whenever we say the word Strymon.
I was thinking today,
do you think Strymon are going to release a... do you think they're going to update and do a Timeline 2? Because I was thinking the Timeline's been out for quite a while.
Yeah.
And they haven't really done a firmware update. There's still no, like, computer editing or anything like that.
It is weird that now, you know, when companies like Alexander Pedals and people like that, and, you know, we've seen Chase Bliss do a lot of kind of work in the digital kind of zone, it does seem weird that Strymon haven't done an update to their most kind of well-known digital series of pedals, like the double series pedals.
Yeah. I just wonder whether they'll kind of... I don't know. This, nothing's really taken the crown, though, has it? To be honest, in terms of,
well, I mean, the Boss DD500 certainly put in a good shift there. But I think in terms of what's on most players' boards, probably you're right.
I don't think the DD500's been around enough to challenge that, though. People aren't going to get rid of the Strymons they've just invested £300 in.
Sure.
But I think when we're looking at pedals that are going to stand the test of time, I think the DD500. Is more likely to take that mantle than a Strymon.
Sure. Should we do one last bit of news?
Yes.
So the big bit of news this week, TC Electronic announced the Wiretap Riff Recorder is how they're actually positioning it. They've been teasing something big for the last 2 weeks, that they've got a new pedal coming out.
Which is funny because it's the opposite of a big pedal.
Yeah, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny wee pedal. Mm. So, yeah, big kind of push for this new pedal. And it's arrived. Matt Knight, tell us about the Wiretap Riff Recorder.
Yeah, well, at first I was like, hold on, isn't this just a looper? And then I realised the actual application of it. Yeah, and then I realised the actual sort of like application of it. It's effectively a recording device that just plugs in at the end of your signal chain and just records everything that goes into it.
Or the front of your signal chain.
Or the front of your signal chain. Or anywhere, to be honest. Records up to 8 hours of audio and then basically sends it to your phone via a free app.
And Bluetooth.
So you can Yeah, so you can basically come back to those riffs at any point. So if you're, you know, at rehearsal, band practice, whatever, and you're sort of jamming, you go, oh, I really like that riff, hit that, record it, it's saved in there, and then it'll, you can share it amongst it to your phone. And
yeah, share it amongst your band is sort of the idea. I quite like the feature that they've introduced as well to avoid that, because of course when the application that a lot of us use now when we're trying to think of these things is just the voice notes on our phone, and what you end up with is an entire bank of ideas called Untitled One, Untitled New Song One, New Song New.
I think I'm up to about 80, something like that. Yeah. New Song 80. Because I usually, when I'm writing songs, I get an idea, usually when I'm in the shower, and I'm like, okay, get out dry quickly, remember that bit.
God.
I know, it's a horrible thought, but I'll be like, okay, right, I remember that bit, chorus, okay, quickly, dry myself off, get a guitar, and I'll put the phone down and I'll play it, and then I'll be, oh right, I need to go and eat some breakfast now, save, and then I'll come back to it later. But then it's called New Song 75.
No good.
So this I think is a great this is genuinely this is, the coolest thing about this pedal.
But this definitely isn't the selling point about this pedal, but this is probably the thing that we found the coolest. It will automatically name each track a random name that they reckon is super cool, so they will just suggest pop song titles to you, which is, mate, you can rename them, you're not stuck with them. But there's a video on YouTube of them showing it, and like the guy sort of uploading a song, and it shows the name, and the name of the song that's suggested is something like, it's not this exactly, but it is something like Watered and Lonely. And he deletes it and writes Killer Song.
Nice.
Something like that.
Which is harder to remember.
Definitely.
They're all killers.
But it was ridiculous. Like, of all the... it wasn't quite that, but it was something almost as bad. And it was like, just have something...
I want to hear cool. Watered and Lonely now. I want to hear how it goes.
Watered and Lonely.
Yeah, I'm into it. If someone can write Watered and Lonely and stick up on SoundCloud or something and send us the link, I want to hear that. So... the thing that first struck me, Matt, you said it first struck you as a looper. I read the full thing and thought, wait a minute, isn't this just a Line 6 backtrack?
Well, that's from the thing I mentioned to you when before we started.
Yeah, so I've seen this before, 2005, I think, something like that, the Line 6 backtrack riff recorder. Do you remember that product?
Yeah, I mean, basically, it wasn't a pedal as such, it was a little sort of box that sat in between your guitar and your amp, basically, that then recorded straight onto it via an SD card.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, in fact, no, they are. I saw Amazon had a link, but they are definitely discontinued. And it effectively a kind of similar thing to this. Obviously, it didn't have the kind of, you know, the app support or anything like that, but. And I suppose in a way similar to the Gibson memory cable, which is basically like hit record and it records everything. I suppose the idea with this is that you can sort of capture on the fly. So if you're playing, you can just hit it and it'll just record, and you hit it and it'll hit it again and it'll just cut it. But the other thing I liked was that you can record onto the app and then beam it to the pedal.
Okay, so you
which can... I thought was quite cool. So if you haven't got your whole rig with you, but you've got that, or you haven't got your pedal board, so you haven't got the actual pedal, but you're just sort of playing an acoustic, you can jam on the acoustic, record it into the wiretap, and then play it through your pedals later.
See, that
it's kind of cool for demoing stuff.
I mean, yeah, that's neat.
Because you could take it to a guitar shop, though, record your guitar into it, and then run it into like any amp. So if you just want to demo a load of amps, turn a load of amps on. No guitar needed, just press the play button.
I mean, that would be a bit weird, but it could be useful. But the thing that strikes me is that if they're designing it to be the first thing in your signal chain, so you go from your guitar into the wiretap and then into your pedals, when you send that file to the rest of your bandmates, it's going to be like, blinky, 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 blinky.
Anyone who uses amp drive, anything like that, like even if you move it around in your signal chain so you put it last, it's
you're still only going to be hearing your pedals. You won't hear any amp, like you won't hear a cab modeler or anything.
This definitely has more limited application than I think than TC are aiming at. I'm not 100% sold on this.
I'm not. Not yet.
Do we know what the price point is?
Matt Knight, do you know?
No, I did inquire today and they haven't actually released that to any dealers as of yet.
Classic.
The sub and up, though, looks like it may be on its way soon.
Sub and up is on its way, actually, yes.
So the thing that strikes me about these two is that they seem a bit like holdover products, in that the Sub and Up already appeared in some version in their bass amps, which we talked about before. And this just kind of seems like they've just put an audio recorder and a Bluetooth transfer and the ability to record to an SD onto... Yeah. I suppose
that when you go to a band rehearsal and you're kind of all jamming and it's like, it all sounds great, and then you just record the guitar... Like, there might be something that the bass player's doing or the drummer's doing that you're not capturing as well.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's kind of cool. I can imagine kind of just plugging in at home. I'd personally like plug it in at the end, play a load of riffs and go, that sounds cool with distortion, delay, whatever, and then take it to rehearsal and go, you know, I've got this.
Because there's no
loop to it. If you only played it round once, it would just play at the end and then you have to press play again.
They have got around this. It's not... Marketing it as a songwriting tool or a looper, it is a riff.
Yeah.
What is it called? A riff recorder. That is it. It is for you to play Seven Nation Army on and record it.
That is a riff. Yeah, that is a famous riff.
That is a riff.
The thing that strikes me about it is, yes, you can do all this, but if that is the intended application of, oh, I just want to capture something quickly that I've got, you know, I've just written this, or we were jamming this in the rehearsal room and I want to record it, my phone can do all that, and then I'll just capture the idea and I can play it back, and it's got a speaker built in. I don't need to plug it into anything else.
Yeah. So I suppose the only upside to this is that it records at 24-bit.
But I don't necessarily want my guitar going
plinky, 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 plinky. 24-bit doesn't matter. In this case,
I don't know. Well, I suppose maybe not if you're using it. I was just thinking maybe if you recorded a riff in there and it's like 30 seconds long and then you just plugged it into your audio interface and then you used like something in GarageBand or whatever to try a load of different amps with it, perhaps.
I think what they've created is something that someone somewhere will go, oh my God, that's just exactly what I wanted. But I don't think it's, you know, it's not as exciting as like the Helix Phaser they brought out, or, you know, a Hall of Fame, or all the classic TC mini pedals. I think, like I say, it's kind of more of a, seems like a bit of a holdover pedal until they decide what they're doing next.
The best thing about this pedal is the video, which I strongly recommend going and watching on YouTube, because the host that they get for all the TC,
he's great.
Guy who does all of them, he's so good.
He's one of the product designers, isn't that Matt?
He is like
this brilliant,
he's like the lead,
long-haired, bearded Dutch
tour. I've met
lumberjack.
Him. He's really nice. He's a great player.
Oh, yes,
and,
sir. Imagine
he's really nice.
He's so good. He's just like, I can't really do a Dutch accent, but he's...
He's not Dutch.
Where's he from?
Sweden, I believe. Is that right, Matt? Or Denmark?
Enough, isn't it? They're Denmark. Yeah.
Denmark.
Same thing, isn't it, virtually?
But as someone put in the Amplify chat, it's like, you know, they basically need to bring out something like an M5.
That has all of their effects in, and maybe tag the riff recorder onto the end of that.
They're basically saying that they kind of reckon they're sort of scraping the barrel, which I can sort of see in a way.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Joe, before we move on, anything else coming in from the chat?
People asking whether or not I'm on commission. I'd like to point out I'm not even into this pedal. I don't even really like TC stuff. It's a bit clinical for me.
But
opposite of being on commission.
I've got some TC stuff that I really like. I like the Alter Ego delay. That's great.
You've got one of those.
I have. It's really nice.
I used a Ditto looper. I did buy an Alter Ego x4.
Oh yeah. Cool pedal.
Yeah, great pedal. And I've got a Hall of Fame Mini on my board. Yeah. The Hoff.
But that's what I mean. Those are kind of game changing pedals, really.
When TC are firing on all cylinders, they're on top form.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more firing of all cylinders we've got from them now that they're owned by Behringer.
I think they'll pull something out of the bag.
Hopefully the designers have stayed the same.
Yeah.
I don't know whether Behringer or I don't know whether they actually have control over what products they're making those.
Yeah, that's it. It's probably just sort of ownership at the very top. So hopefully we're still going to get loads of cool stuff. Yeah.
Right, so we've got a few minutes left to take some questions. So if you want some questions, you can either pop them in the Amplify chat right now if you're watching live, but we're also going to be pulling from the Facebook group as well. So
which is
facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. And as we said at the start of the podcast, Tuesday nights, 8:30 UK time, we're on ampli.fi/guitar nerds. Where we're streaming right now, as we're recording this, and people are going to ask questions, and we'll jump in.
Fact.
So, Joe, is there anything from the chat that you want to cover?
Not really. We sort of just a little bit of, really everyone coming up with new drinking game rules all by themselves,
okay.
Just pointing out they should, and I completely agree. Release Helix and Vibe mini pedals.
Yes, definitely.
That would be cool to complete that range. But no, I think we should crack on ahead with people from the Facebook group.
Let's do some Facebook group, and then while we're doing this, if you've got questions in the Amplify chat, we can take that as well. So Will says, I need a reverb pedal that has at least two easily recallable presets and the ability to go full wet. The cheaper the better, but it needs to sound lush. Am I going to have to spring for the Big Sky, or is there something I'm not thinking of? Matt Knight, you are probably the man to answer this. So
a reverb with presets.
Yeah, two recallable presets.
That's
actually
tricky.
I did read this question earlier, and I thought actually that I'm going to sneak in an odd one. JHS pedals actually mod the Boss RV6 for two presets.
Really?
Yeah, so they put an extra, so the normal stomp button on the pedal works, but then there's also like a more classic switch on top that then recalls one preset.
Okay,
so you can have two algorithms and then switch between the two of them, and I think they're like 100, and because it's in America, I think it's like $170 or something like that, which is obviously like as cheap as you might buy a Boss RV6 in the UK.
Yep.
But obviously if you order it for America and then take into account maybe some of the...
You'll have to pay import on that and shipping and stuff. So,
But anyone listening into America, that would that would certainly be an option if you've got the same idea.
I'm assuming that voids your 5-year Boss warranty on that pedal.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But it'd be worth it. It'd be a cool mod.
Well,
yeah. I mean, it costs $224, or you can send your one to them for $75.
Oh well, there we go.
That was the option that I could think of. I was just trying to think of reverb pedals I know have got two presets.
Yeah, I can't think of any with presets.
You could buy a Strymon Flint or a Blue Sky, which wouldn't be as expensive as a Big Sky, and add the favorite switch or any other sort of.
That would
matching
do
foot switch. That would,
so in terms of the Blue Sky, which is the two button version of the Big Sky, what does that allow you to do in terms of presets? Is it just you've got an on off and then like a favourite switch?
There's on off and then there's favourite.
You look good, Joe. You look good. Joe's opening a beer live on camera.
I'm doing it carefully.
Blue
bypass,
Sky.
And then you've got favourite.
Okay.
If I remember rightly. So you can have one preset and then you can switch between what currently is on the pedal and then one that you've saved.
That would, as long as you remember your settings, basically, for the like manual mode with the knobs, you could set that up one way and then you could have the favourite switch as well. So that would allow you two different recallable sounds.
Yeah, that would work. You could, I mean, the other thing you could do, and I mean, this is a bit of an extreme way of doing it, you could buy something like, because most people want two because they want a standard like hall setting or room setting or spring, and then they want something that does something a bit more extreme.
Yeah.
You could buy a Hall of Fame Mini and then another kind of more ambient
reverb. That's an interesting
idea.
What there's been on the live chat, someone's pointed out that does the Moore Shimverb Pro not have two settings, and I bought one of those recently, so it does, but its second setting is just its shimmer, so you're just adding the shimmer and choosing the octave that it flutters at.
So what adding in the second switch basically makes the shimmer come in, is that
yes.
the only thing
yeah
it does?
That's right. Okay. so it's whilst it is a second option, it that would have to be what you wanted it to do. It's not as clean cut as having two separate reverbs.
Right. Okay.
I've got one. Electro Harmonix Cathedral. 170
yeah.
quid.
What a great idea. Really presets. Affordable. Sounds really good. Is the backbone of like post-rock for like the last 10 years.
Yeah, definitely.
And you can also get some delay sounds out of it as well. But yeah, I think, if I remember rightly, 9 presets. So kind of, yeah, I mean, that would be a good option. I mean, to be honest, I don't think you're going to get much sub 100 quid. Or sub 150 even, really, with 2 presets. But the Cathedral just over that would be a good option.
Cool. Well, I hope that answers your question, Will. Anything from the chat, Joe Branton?
I'll take one from here. This will be a quick one, but what is the likelihood of Electro Harmonix doing a multi-effects of all their keyboard simulating pedals?
What do we think?
Well, there's a fair old chance they've done
too
few.
Early to tell, I think.
Yeah, at the moment. But they've done a lot of things like the... parsnip greens, so
turnip greens,
that was it, yeah, which was a mix of the
it was the
soul food
yeah,
the
yes,
Holy Grail,
yes,
and Holy Grail, yeah.
They also did, what did they do, the tone tattoo?
They did the tone tattoo, which was a weird multi effects, and the epitome, was that a tone, yeah, was that a multi effects
epitome, yeah. Did that have the pog, the memory boy,
I think that was the tone tattoo.
And the chorus in it? No, the tone tattoo had like the metal muff and some other bits in it. But no, the epitome or the epitome had it had like cool, some really cool effects that you could get out of that, actually.
Yeah.
But the only problem with that was it was like 250 quid. And it's kind of like you could probably buy 3 single pedals and kind of get some similar kind of cool sounds out of it.
Yeah. Definitely. It's not something they've ever really done properly, I don't think, multi-effects. They've done these, I like these kind of, the kind of double feature, if you will, ones that they're doing, where it's like, you know, like the Soul Pog recently, which was the Pog and the, what was the other pedal? Soul Food, of course.
Soul Food, yeah.
So
the Soul Pog, wasn't it?
The Soul Pog, the yeah. Soul so Pog. They're doing some cool little... experimenting with that, but they've never done a fully fledged multi effects, I don't think. So, so possibly is the answer. Mm. Joe, we've got another question.
We should probably take another one from
let's
here
do
first.
Let's do one from the Facebook group. That's another one about using 2 amps. Robin says, 2 amp setups. Is anyone running a setup with massively mismatched cabs? I have a plan to run my 30-watt Class A 15-inch speaker monster up with. Wait, that doesn't make sense. I have a plan to run my 30-watt Class A 15-inch speaker monster with a 4-watt Vox AC4 TV 10-inch. The idea being that the Vox will fill out the mids. Is this a waste of time? Can I run them in stereo? What else do I need to think about? So he's basically saying he's got a big 15-inch amp and he wants to put a little Vox AC4 in there to kind of give it some kind of gnarly mids as well. So what do we think, Matt? Running mismatched?
Just quickly though, this makes me think of a time way back in the podcast we talked about your bass rig at one point that did something very similar.
I was thinking about that today because I was listening to 60 Cycle Hum, which is another cool guitar podcast that you should check out, and they were talking about their first rigs, and I was thinking that my first rig at one point, well, one of my first rigs was a PV TNT bass amp, which had a active crossover in it that allowed you to send all the high frequencies out, and I had
Amazing thing.
So good. And I had a PV Blazer.
Bandit.
No, it was like a Blazer. What they call one? No, a Rage 158, which was a little guitar practice amp, basically, that allowed you to put all the high frequency off your bass into that and then use the practice amp distortion. So you had all this like amazing like low-end chuggy bass.
Have they actually released something called the Blazer?
Yeah, it was the Rage and the Blazer for a while, yeah. I think the Rage had reverb and the Blazer didn't. I think it was that way around.
That's so good.
What's so funny about the Blazer?
Because I know they mean like blazing a trail, yeah. But what I can think of
just
is
like smoking weed.
Schoolboys.
Oh, well, okay. I thought you were going to say smoking weed.
No.
Oh, right, okay. So I guess he is sort of doing that, really.
I suppose it's a shame, actually. That would be quite a cool feature for people to build into amps that you could plug another amp. Because I suppose some amps do have a parallel... I suppose if you've got a parallel effects loop rather than one that runs in series, means that you can... Because obviously where you've got a normal effects loop, if you plugged something into the effects loop return, it cuts the preamp of the amp out so you can run a different preamp into a different power amp. But if they run in parallel, it means that you can still patch things in and run both into the same paramp.
Okay.
So that'd be quite cool if you could do something like that. But anyway, that's not really what he's asking. But
he's basically saying, can he run a big amp and a small amp in stereo?
Yeah, I think that would work really well.
I don't know about guitar. Did you say AC4?
Yes.
Yeah, but when you're turned up really loud, that's going to give you, like I said, that kind of real sort of boxy sort of mids. But then when you've got an amp with a 15-inch speaker that's giving you all the sub. It's kind of how when I've got things running in stereo, I set one amp up with basically kind of like scoop mids but loads of bass and treble, and then one with loads of mid and less bass and treble. So when you're hearing them together, you're getting, rather than the sound of two different amps, you're getting the sound of one kind of massive, you know, kind of wall of sound. Depends what you're trying to do, because obviously if you're trying to run a stereo set where you're A-B-ing between two amps, you want two amps that sound distinctly different. But if you're running them at the same time, you want them to complement each other. If you run two Fenders at the same time, you're not really getting a kind of spread in sort of stereo. Whereas if you're going for something like, a 15-inch and a 10-inch, that's going to sound quite cool.
Yeah.
Especially if you bought something like a Micropog and then you run, you know, the effective octave into the 15-inch and then the dry into the 10-inch speaker.
Totally. Totally. Cool. Joe, is there anything left in the chat? So we're almost up at time. Any questions or anything?
We should probably finish off the last of the...
Well, we've got loads. Yeah. And what we'll do is we'll be doing some more over in the Patreon episode. Patreon.com/guitar nerds. But we can talk about that in a second. Let's do one more question. Have you got anything from there, or shall I do...
I have one from here, but maybe we'll do this one in the Patreon.
Because if we're doing it...
All right. Okay. Is it a quick one or is it a long one? Not really. It's not really a quick one. So I thought maybe we'd do one from your thing.
Let's do it. Let's see how quickly we can answer it. Let's make it a challenge.
How do you feel about other guitarists using your gear? Example: a friend comes over and you let them play your rig. They immediately start turning knobs on the amp, pedals, maybe even tuning down half a step. Does it matter? Does that irk you? What would the proper etiquette be for playing another person's rig?
Matt, do you want to answer that first?
Yeah, I don't mind, because I tend to find that a lot of the time it can be like really interesting, because if you're playing the same kind of rig and you're playing the same amp and the same guitar all the time, and then you sort of never get, it's almost like getting a fresh pair of like eyes and ears on your guitar rig.
Totally.
I know the last time a good friend of mine who I used to live with came around, and he's like an amazing guitar player, and he was sort of messing around with it all, and a lot of the people, he doesn't get as much chance to kind of play as much gear as I do, because obviously I work in a music shop. So he was trying loads of stuff and he was getting loads of sounds out. I was like, I didn't think about doing it that way. And people just have a different perspective about how to tune their gear in, basically. And I think that's why so many times three people could pick up the same guitar and it would kind of always sound a bit different.
Yeah, definitely. Joe Branton, what are your thoughts?
I don't know if I care that much about it I've got to do this for the sake of the group.
I don't know whether it matters so much. I tend to not care that well, but that said, I am a bass player, so the things you have to control and turn are more simple.
Good. I assume someone asked you to do it in a silly voice.
Yeah, I sort of promised that I'd do everything in
good.
A silly voice.
Good.
But you actually told me not to.
Yeah, I did. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, you just won't be here next week. It's fine. So my thoughts on it are just let people use whatever they want. Is generally, again, mainly coming from a bass background, I don't care about my settings too much. They're easy enough to get back. And even on the guitar stuff, part of the joy is like finding your settings again, and you might discover something new. So, yeah, the only thing that I tend to not let people do, like gigs even, I let people use my amps and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because coming from like punk, people, it's just easier. Like, you'll probably have five bands on a 3 or 4 hour bill, so it's just easy to leave everything set up and let them use it a lot of the time. I won't let people use my guitars pretty much ever.
Fair enough.
Like a friend, then I'll let them, like if they were like, oh, your bass sounds wicked, could I take it away for the weekend because I'm doing some recording, then that's cool. I'm happy
with
that.
No one's ever going to say that to you.
My bass is the best ever made. But if it was like at a gig and someone broke a string, I'd probably be like, I'm sorry, mate. Depends how far into their set they were. If they had one song left, then maybe. We don't know. Anyway, we're over time, so we should wrap this up.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us if you're joining us live on Amplify. Amazing to get some of you in the chat. Do tell people about the streams. If you've got friends that are into guitar and they're around on a Tuesday night.
And we promise that very soon there's going to be some actual guitar content on this podcast. I'm aware that we've just got through another week, probably our second in a row, without talking about any guitars.
We talked about pedals. The problem is that there's so many new pedals coming out at the moment, news-wise, and there's so many questions and the scene around pedals and people like... interest in pedals is so much more vibrant at the moment than guitar stuff. So,
and it's not NAMM, and that tends to be our prime releases. That said, there are some cool and interesting things that I think we should talk about next week.
Okay.
ESP have just done a complete website update, so there's loads of new cool interesting stuff to check out on there. Dean have just done the same. I don't think we give Dean enough time. I think Dean do some really cool stuff. And
cool.
I think we should talk about the
I'm
Dean
up for
Bench. Because they've got some really interesting... They've released some Fender style guitars.
Have they?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they look great. Gold anodized plates on the bases.
I'll do that. That sounds great.
That sounds cool. So maybe next week we'll talk about that.
Yep.
Who else has done... There's been some other really interesting stuff recently from brands that you wouldn't necessarily expect it. Hagstrom have just released a few more bits and bobs. Okay. There's some cool stuff happening, so maybe next week we'll do some guitar-related stuff.
It's also a little bit more difficult because with pedals, with boutique builders, it's much easier for us to get our hands on them, whereas there's a lot of boutique guitar companies out there at the moment that don't revolve around like NAMM and Summer NAMM and Music Messer to release their new stuff. But the problem is that they're usually hand-built and it's not the sort of thing they'll send us to try. So, we will do some guitar content. If Joe has been playing some new stuff this week, that is cool. So, thanks for watching us on Amplify. There's a few ways that you can support the podcast and the live stream. Obviously, on Amplify, you should see if you're in the chat now. You can donate to us live. If you want to help Joe buy some more Whitstable Bay Pale Ale, drop us a dollar in the chat. That'll be awesome. If you require more than just seeing Joe do a funny dance and drinking Whitstable Bay with your money, you can also go over to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where for as little as $5 a month, you can get an extra half an hour each week of Guitar Nerds audio content, which we answer questions from the Facebook group, and we do other topics and fun stuff over there. And we also have a top tier of backers, the Patreon backers.
Top tier.
Indeed. Who, for $10 a month, are executive producers.
Executives.
And they get their names read out.
Overlords.
Thusly.
Andrew Marco. Brad Page, Mark Cross, Mark Rice, Rob Pierce, J.D. Short, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Eric Seary, Paul Corrigan, Jack Goffroy, Jack Conroy, Will, Claire, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis, Moo Gravett, Colin Anderson.
So thanks very much for those guys for helping us out. As always, much appreciated. If you want to follow us on Twitter, @GuitarNerds, on Instagram, @GuitarNerds, on YouTube, youtube.com/GuitarNerdsVideos, and you can go to the website where this ridiculous man here, Joe Branton, is putting up articles on a weekly basis. There's good stuff going up there.
Well, sort of weekly.
Well, we're trying.
I want to get better at it.
Good.
Mark is very organised. And
you are
I
not.
I am not.
Indeed. So,
I've only recently worked out the right way to sit around on a toilet.
Indeed. And maybe we'll live stream that next week. Or you can follow us individually. I'm @Mark_random. Matt is @Matt_Nightsy. And Joe is @Joseph_900. Thanks for joining us this week on the live stream. It's all worked. It's amazing. I'm so relieved.
Yeah. I can't believe how good it worked on FaceTime, considering we've been using Skype and various things.
Yeah, it sounded great. It's looking great. We're going to try and hopefully get better all the time. Like I said, the plan is to be able to bring in pictures here, somewhere, here. Maybe on if we can get a monitor here, or if we can put stuff up on the actual screen, we can do that as well. So thanks very much, you guys, for watching, and we'll see you this time next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.